Hello, I'm Bill Hancock, founder and CEO of Faithbridge Foster Care. We've produced these podcasts for you, and we hope that you'll enjoy them. We designed them to be informational, inspirational, and we hope directional for you and your family as you continue the journey of Christian foster care ministry. You mentioned another strategy that maybe if you don't go for temporary custody write-off, you mentioned if you were a foster family. If someone is an approved foster family and a family member leaves their child there and hasn't come back to get them, should they call DFACS, or do they have a responsibility to report that abandonment to DFACS, or is that a private matter?
Well, it's a quasi-private matter. How's that for a good guarded attorney answer? Abandonment, it does not meet the strict guidelines of abandonment.
Okay.
Because that's a year or more. So, but if they are an approved foster family, certainly what would make sense would be to call DFACS, contact DFACS, if they want the DFACS involvement. There's a fine line you walk, and you understand the line just as I do, and just as most of your listeners will become familiar with. The advantage to having DFACS involved is that they will then, if possible, find the wayward, wandering parents.
So they go looking for them.
Exactly. They'll find them. They'll search for them. If they do find them, then the parents have the opportunity, with the caseworkers' consultants' guidance and the court's insistence, that they do the right thing.
Right.
They'll either work a case plan and get their kids back, or they'll fail at the case plan.
Right.
And that's what's important to remember about that. And if I can zip back real quick to the temporary guardianship.
Sure.
It is, as its name infers, temporary.
It's temporary.
At any time that a biological parent or family, mom and dad, believe that they are capable of parenting that child, they can come back and petition the court to terminate that temporary guardianship.
Okay.
So it's not a "I gave away my kids forever" kind of scenario.
It's not final.
No.
It's temporary.
It is temporary. Okay. And it's more temporary now than it used to be, in that they have to show stability, that kind of thing, that they're a good fit and proper parent, that they're capable of parenting.
But if they do that, they can have that term, get guardianship back.
Exactly. And oftentimes what will happen is that the guardians, who are in a better position than anybody to see that the parents have straightened their life out, gotten on the right track, so to speak, they will voluntarily then surrender, terminate the guardianship. Yeah. It'll be a mutual decision. Sometimes, however, though, the parent petitions the court to terminate the temporary guardianship, and the guardians will say, wait a minute, these folks are not walking the straight and narrow. These folks do not need to have these kids back. Right. They are not living as they ought to.
Right.
And then the judge decides.
Okay. So, in your comments earlier, we were assuming that if you were a DFACS foster family, you call DFACS, you form your caseworker, that you've got children there that are part of your family, that has you feel has been abandoned, but they don't meet the legal definition of abandonment a year or more, but it still would be something you would recommend that is reported.
Absolutely, because they may not be abandoned, but they are certainly deprived
right.
as to the parent, because the parents...
They're missing.
Exactly.
They're missing.
And if the parent is missing and absent, they cannot provide the child with the proper...
So the child's kind of in limbo,
and
nobody has authority in the child's life. For people who are listening to our conversation today that are a Faithbridge parent... foster parent working through a community of care in their local church,
we want them to contact their consultant and make sure their FaithBridge consultant is aware that you have children that's in your home mm-hmm. that maybe we didn't know was there. Fine if they've been visiting, but now they're more than visiting. The parents are missing and the children are there, and it's not clear on how long they'll be there or what's going to happen for them. So that's where a call would go to the FaithBridge consultant, and our consultant would then be able to communicate with DFACS and manage those issues for our family. So I just want to say that to our foster families and just recognize the great work that our consultants do that Absolutely. Are able to manage a lot of those logistics, and just encourage our foster families, if you're a FaithBridge family, to, if you got any questions, ever have any questions, just call your consultant. That's what they're there to do. They're there to help you make those decisions and to implement those decisions at the court. If there needs to be temporary guardianship, those are things that your consultant can help them with and be able to help them do that without their feel like they're trying to do it alone.
Absolutely, and you've got some really bang-up consultants. And as a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons that a friend of mine at our church was very interested. Interested is too mild a word. She was jumping up and down when she heard about FaithBridge, because she and her husband had been involved in the foster care system with their great niece.
Okay.
And the child was from another county, several mm-hmm. counties over. Mm-hmm. So they had to deal with transportation issues for visitation and medical care and all this kind of stuff. And she had her own children to deal with, plus this great niece that had been placed in their home by the department. So she said, if I can help anybody not have to go through what I went through.
Yeah.
And of course, we have to remember that these caseworkers at the department are there because they care about kids.
Oh, absolutely.
If they could probably flip burgers in McDonald's and make as much or more than they're making where they are.
Yeah, they're there because they want to be.
Exactly.
They care about kids.
Exactly. They care about kids. The problem is that with the budget cuts at the state level and the impetus with the county to conserve resources, and whenever I hear conserve resources, my mind immediately leaps to the fact that they're going to spend less money on kids.
Yeah, and while the resources are being depleted in terms of serving children in Georgia, we're also seeing that the workloads of state caseworkers is increasing, and not just the number of kids they serve, but the requirements that's being placed on caseworkers to serve the kids they have in care. So there's an increased expectation, as you know, we're starting to see more kids go back into the system in just the last 60 days, an increase in the number of children in the system. So that continues to put a lot of pressure on the foster care system. And that's why it's so important to reach out and encourage and be part of encouraging our state caseworkers as well. But if you've got a FaithBridge caseworker, which we refer to as family consultants, they're there to help take some of the load off of you as a foster parent, but they're also there to try to lighten the load of the county caseworker.
Absolutely.
We want to partner with everybody in our counties, because we believe if everybody's working together and we get everybody on the same page, children are better served, and ultimately their families are better served.
And that's what it's all about, right?
It is. It's ultimately about the children and their families and keeping them safe and healthy in our communities. And that's why I want to make sure that as we get this word out, that people are able to take action, be informed. If you're not clear, pick up the phone and call somebody. If you're at a partnering church with FaithBridge, call your ministry director at your church. Reach out to a friend. Call your consultant. We're really here to serve people, and we want foster families and church partners to know that. We're called to do this, just like many, as you said, many of the folks out in the counties that we're working with every day, judges and people. We just want to give everybody the benefit of the doubt on any given day and deal with the facts.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know what? What used to be the case back when I first started working with defects and representing families, family of origin families, and then also children as a guardian ad litem in the juvenile court system, and then even foster parents would come in and represent them as well. But what would happen would be that school would start, and then you'd have about 3 or 4 weeks, and then the referrals would start flooding in to the department because the teachers would have a chance to see after the initial the honeymoon period, so to speak, had worn off at school, and there would be some fallout there.
Right.
They would notice children that were not being fed, children that were coming to school with either the same clothes or clothes that did not fit them, shoes that did not fit them, that kind of thing, or bruising. Unfortunately, you see signs of physical, even sexual abuse. But you know, that's not the case anymore, Bill. The influx that was traditional in September, the swelling of the defects rolls, is now a year-round phenomenon, and it's truly a frightening thing, because what happens when times get tough and you've got the family of origin, the birth family, that is unable to cope with the stressors of life, and that when everything seems to be crashing down about them, they've had employment issues, perhaps drug issues, housing issues, transportation issues, and they don't have any coping mechanism, no coping skills. The ones that suffer are the least of these, are the children. And that's where the church has got to step in. And that's where the church, and I'm so excited for FaithBridge, and you know that, and we've talked about that many times, because to me, it ought to be a ministry arm of the church.
Yes.
It ought not to be a governmental agency.
Right. The local churches should be the safety net.
Absolutely.
It should be the safety net. The church should be the place of refuge for hurting families. And
absolutely.
Not the federal state government providing a safety net for people. It really should be God's people providing that safety net. I heard a statistic just this week, over 130 million Christians in the U.S. There's an over 300,000 churches. We certainly have the critical mass. We have the human resource. We have the economic resource. And we have a biblical mandate. What's been missing for years and is we just don't have a plan. We don't know how to get organized. And then when we're organized, we've got to have training. The state requires certain training. And once you're trained, then you need support. And that's why, FaithBridge has come into being, is to mobilize, organize, train, equip, and provide support for families so that we can be that safety net.
Thank you for your compassionate service to foster children. FaithBridge is here to serve you. If we can support you in any way, please contact our team. It is our desire to help you succeed and all that God has called you and your family to be, to children who desperately need you.